I still see people trickling into the room, so I'm gonna try to give it a couple minutes to make sure that we capture everyone before we get started. I have a number in my head to see if we can get to that number. We're getting really, really close. I'm excited. Okay, we'll go ahead and get started. So good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us for tonight's virtual town hall. We're very happy that you took time out of your evening to join us. I am Kiana Scales, Vice President for Enrollment Management, and with me are a number of colleagues from the Office of Financial Aid, the Office of Fiscal Services, specifically Student Accounts, and the Office of Admissions. Before we get started, I just want to say that I hope everyone and their loved ones are happy, safe, and healthy as we get through this pandemic. And I wanted to make sure that we took time as we start to think through our options for summer, as well as coming back for the fall, all of the different resources that are available relative to financial aid. Now more than ever, it's really important that everyone in the Xavier community understands all of the resources that are available to them, as well as the processes or procedures that you must follow in order to access that resource. So tonight, I want to make sure that we cover everything that we need to share with you to ensure that you are successfully completing those processes. But most important, it's just really important that we give you the opportunity to ask any questions that you may have as you navigate this transition. We have a really aggressive agenda for the evening. So before I actually dive in, I want to introduce and let you know who's actually on the webinar for this evening. First, we have from the Office of Student Financial Aid, Ms. Emily London Jones, Ms. Zena Dickerson, Ms. Sandy Livings Veal, and Ms. Janika Miles Conway. From the Office of Fiscal Services, specifically Student Accounts, we have Ms. Trinice Davis and Ms. Kiana James. We also have Jasmine Brown, who is from the Office of Admissions and will serve as our moderator. As you have questions, please feel free to type them in the chat. Ms. Brown will review your questions and she will make sure that they are addressed. In the event we run out of time, we are scheduled to stop the webinar at 8. In the event we run out of time, if we did not get to your question, rest assured we will connect with you directly to ensure that it is addressed appropriately. I first want to start off with emergency aid. So we know that this is an incredibly uncomfortable time in all of our lives. The pandemic just happened all of a sudden, and many of you were left unprepared, as were we, in terms of how we would make sure that we navigated through the rest of the semester. In addition to the academic resources that we want to make sure you have access to, It's also important that you are supported in your personal lives, and that may look different for each one of you. For example, some of you may have needs related to technology. Some of you may have food insecurity challenges. Some of you may be thinking about where you're going to reside, whether you can make rental payments, technology issues. And we just want to make sure that you know that there is support and resources available to you. So I just wanted to make sure that there are two resources that I draw to your attention. The first is at 8 p.m., so in just about an hour, all Xavier students will receive an email inviting you to complete a COVID-19 survey. What that survey will do is it will allow us to really capture, in your own words, the needs of the Xavier community. Our goal with the survey is to really take a look at the needs that you are expressing individually and use that information to connect you with resources that may be of help. Again, we do have some, actually, I should actually point out that today is Give Love Xavier Day. And what that means for the Xavier community is many of our alums and other members of the Xavier community are engaged in fundraising activities to ensure that we have support such as this available to you. So in addition to the COVID-19 survey, I also want to make sure that you know that there is an emergency aid application that is posted in three different places on our website. The first one is actually if you go to the zula.edu webpage and look for the CARES Emergency Grant application, that link is very prominently placed on the main homepage. You can also access that on the Zula COVID-19 website, as well as the financial aid website. If you complete the survey, you will receive an opportunity to download that application or a link that will direct you directly to the application as well. The things that I want to make sure that you know is that the application must be completed in its entirety. We need supporting documentation that supports the need that you are indicating on the application, and you should be sure to email it directly to the email address that is listed at the bottom of this screen and also in red on the application when you access it. Again, this aid opportunity is for current Xavier students. We can immediately begin to provide access to relief funding, but we do need support in order to adequately address your needs that you are indicating on the document. Moving on, I want to turn it over to my colleagues in financial aid. So Ms. London Jones will begin to talk to you about important processes related to those resources in financial aid as we look to the summer and the fall term, as well as important deadlines that you need to keep in mind as we move forward.
My apologies. As I was saying earlier, in reference to determining your eligibility for federal financial aid, there are two ways that you can complete the federal application, and that is through filling out the FAFSA, going to FAFSA.gov and student loan or studentaid.gov in order to complete the FAFSA application. And if you're wanting financial aid for the summer, you must complete the summer application, and we would need the 1920 FAFSA in order to complete your summer application. In order to complete your information for the 2021 school year, you would have to complete the FAFSA for the 2021 application. Keeping in mind that the financial aid application, once that's completed and we receive the results from your FAFSA, you would receive an email letting you know as well what your eligibility is for financial aid. And once we receive that information, we will send you an email to your Zula account. And your Zula account would be your email, where you would go there and it'll provide you with the information to go to your banner web in order to review your financial aid results, meaning your financial aid award, I should say, my apologies. And once you receive that, you will be able to make the decision on, you know, what aid you would like to accept or decline. Also keeping in mind, when you're filling out your application and you're receiving your award, there's also an opportunity to receive the Parent Plus Loan offer. That offer is not accepted automatically by you, the student, and the parent until you've completed all the required information that's needed. And once you do that, the federal government will submit to us the results of your parent loan application. And when we receive that, we will automatically accept that award for you. Next is in reference to important deadline dates that I would like to share with you. And that's in reference to, matter of fact, the seniors, and congratulations, completing the exit counseling. It's very important that you complete the exit counseling. It's a document that's letting us know that you have reviewed and was a borrower of student loans and, of course, teach grants. And you must complete those documents in order to be cleared for graduation. So once that's done, then you will go to the next step in completing that, and we will notify you once we've received your completion of your exit counseling. For summer, to remind you of summer school, the deadline date to complete your summer application and complete your FAFSA for summer is May 8th. And once we receive that information by May 8th, we'll try to have an award completed for you prior to fee bills going out or our registration for summer. The deadline date for completing your FAFSA for 2021 would be June 1st. So we're asking that you get that into us as soon as possible, even if you're under verification, to submit your verification information and turn it in, and we will review it and provide you with the resources, even to get an estimated award. We'll be able to submit an estimated award for you during that time. And another important date is in reference to professional judgment. As Ms. Scales, VP Scales indicated, we're going through a lot of trying times. And so there's opportunities that you'll be able to file a professional judgment document. And so there is a priority deadline date for that to be June 1st. And lastly, to talk about priority dates and deadline dates is in reference to satisfactory academic progress. And oftentimes people may hear about SAP. And that's in reference to making sure that you've met your academic requirements and meeting your GPA and your GPA and hours earning attempted ratio. And the priority date for submitting that information would be, in fact, July 10th of this year. Next, I will turn it over to Ms. Conway, who will talk to you in reference to scholarships.
Okay, I have a little information for you guys about the accommodations that were made for scholarship recipients due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So all academic scholarship recipients have been granted a grace period for scholarship renewal requirements. This means that scholarship eligibility will not be evaluated until the end of the fall 2020 semester. So that means that whatever your scholarship status is for this spring semester, it will roll over for the fall semester. This grace period covers the GPA requirement as well as the credit hour requirement. So guys, this upcoming fall semester is your time to really grind to make sure that you're meeting the requirements to keep your scholarship for the rest of the academic year starting in fall 2020. I also have information about the TOPS accommodations for Louisiana students. They have also granted a grace period for TOPS recipients, which is similar to the grace period that we have set for academic scholarships. TOPS eligibility will not be fully evaluated until the end of the fall 2020 semester as well. I say fully evaluated because there are some instances where the state will process the student's grades. The TOPS office has stated that if a student's grade information has a positive effect on eligibility, their award will be processed and updated. So for example, if there's a student whose TOPS award was suspended previously, then they will process your grade information if your new grades will result in your scholarship, your TOPS scholarship being reinstated. So with that being said, the institution will continue to submit all of your grade records to TOPS each semester. The credit hour requirement for TOPS, however, has been waived for the academic year. We also want to give you guys information about scholarships. If you are searching for additional scholarship funds, on our website, there's a database for scholarship applications, different scholarship search databases that is available for you guys. These are scholarships that we believe are beneficial to our students. We are a UNCF partner school. So one of those scholarships there you'll see is UNCF, and we encourage all of our students to do the general application for UNCF because there are funds that may be available to you, but you have to do the applications first. So we encourage you to go to our website and look at those lists of scholarships and apply. And that it's all the information I have for you guys.
So good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Zena Dickerson. I'll be discussing financial aid appeals. Financial aid appeals gives you an opportunity to actually earn financial aid or receive financial aid. So satisfactory academic progress, that's SAP for our continuing students. In the month of May, mid-May, we'll start evaluating your progress. If for some reason you didn't meet the standard, an email will be sent to your Zula email. So we really want you to monitor that. Inside that email will be all the information you would need to consider filing an appeal. The appeal deadline date is July the 10th. Of course, we encourage you to file it as soon as you know, which will give the team an opportunity to review, okay? In addition to that, professional judgment, you may have heard about professional judgment. Our university does participate when we review professional judgments. So if you've had an extenuating circumstance where you believe it's caused a substantial change in your income from the time that you file your FAFSA, you can actually file a PJ. That professional judgment form is on our website. And on our website, it also lists some scenarios, right? Such as maybe a loss in income, because we know certain things are happening now. If you believe you fall into that category, please go out to our website. Check out that form. It gives you, we have to have documentation. It's the federal government. We must have documentation. It actually gives you an opportunity to review some type of documentation that we'll be looking for. So you'll be empowered what you need to do that. We encourage you to do it as soon as possible because we know it has impacted quite a few people. It will give us an opportunity or the committee an opportunity to review it and to respond accordingly. You may have in your financial aid award. The priority deadline date is June 1st, but of course we do encourage you to do it as soon as possible. And you can also go out to our website. That form is out there, gives you all the details. We do look forward to helping you any way that we can. Thank you.
Before we move to fiscal clearance, I really just want to highlight a few things that our colleagues in financial aid reference. If you all remember nothing else about this webinar, it is really important that you stay on top of deadlines and that you use the web resources that we have mentioned. So I'll go through them again because they're incredibly important. For immediate need, meaning there are things that you are really concerned about in this moment, making bills, making sure that all of your basic needs are met, ensuring that you have the appropriate tools and resources that you need in order to not only successfully complete the semester, but also to live, the emergency aid application, which is called the CARES Emergency Grant, is available for you now. The way that process works is you will complete the fillable PDF that is posted both on the Zula homepage, the financial aid webpage, as well as the COVID-19 update page. All three of those pages will link you to the same application. Complete it in its entirety. Do not leave any questions blank. Attach documentation and email both the completed application and the documentation to the email address provided. Only use the email address provided. We will review those applications immediately, notify you if there are any information pieces that are missing. Priority consideration is given to students who have completed the FAFSA. If you are unable or otherwise ineligible to complete the FAFSA, we will still consider you, but we must need the supporting documentation for your application. We will then notify you and funds can be made available within 2 days. That's how that works. For financial aid purposes, meaning if you're planning to enroll in summer classes, and many of you are, as well as preparing for the fall, it is very important that you adhere to the deadlines that were referenced earlier. This presentation will be posted to the website. If you need to review it or go back and say, not quite sure what they said, and connect with that information, it will be available to you. But again, it's all about making sure that you stay on top of deadlines and not wait until the final date in order to raise your hand and say you need help. Speaking of that, one of the things that we'll talk about next is the fiscal clearance process. For those of you who are continuing students, you may be familiar with our former process where there were opportunities to meet in the ballroom and handle last minute business before you actually start classes. As you all know, we're in the age of social distancing. What that means for you is our ability to service you in that way is significantly reduced. And so it is very important now more than ever that you understand what the process is related to fiscal clearance, you complete that process timely, you follow through with any additional information, and if you have difficulty with payments and making payment arrangements, that's what we'll talk about next. So I'd like to invite my colleagues from Fiscal Services, Ms. Trenise Davis and Ms. Kiana James, to walk through the fiscal clearance process and dates and deadlines that you need to know in order to make sure that you're well prepared to start the next semester.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Kiana James. I will be speaking with you on the fiscal clearance process and the deadlines. Each semester, students are required to be fiscally cleared to attend classes and to check into the dormitory. Students will view their registration billing summary to determine if a payment is required to obtain fiscal clearance. Registration billing summaries for summer session one were emailed to students on last week. The billing summaries for summer sessions one and three are also currently available by logging into your Banner Web account. You can access your billing summary from the main menu by selecting Student and Financial Aid, Registration, check your registration status. You will then select the appropriate term and then scroll down to the hyperlink that says, click here to view the details of your assessment. If your registration billing summary states that your minimum required payment to register is a zero or negative amount, you will automatically be fiscally cleared. If your financial aid, including scholarships, does not cover the entire cost of tuition, fees, and housing if applicable, you will have a minimum payment required to register. You will be fiscally cleared once the university receives your required payment. You may submit your payment online by logging into Banner Web and selecting tuition and fees online payments. All major debit and credit cards are accepted online, as well as payments from your personal checking or savings account. Checks and money orders, as well as cashier's checks, can be mailed to the Office of Student Accounts at 1 Drexel Drive, Box 121, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70125. Please note the required payment deadlines. May 20th is the deadline to be fiscally cleared for summer sessions 1 and 3. May 20th is when your required payment is due for summer sessions 1 and 3. June 22nd is the payment deadline for summer session 2, and July 17th is the deadline for the fall 2020 semester.
Hello, everybody. Trenise Davis, how y'all doing? I'm just going to take a few seconds and go over the payment dates for summer and for fall. Just in case if you miss the early registration deadline, you can still make the required payment by May 25th through your Banner Web account, and your final instalment for summer one is due on June 26th. Of course, summer three always start before summer two because it's an 8-week session. So summer three will begin on June 5th, and you can still make the payment by that date. And your final payment is due by July 31st. And then summer two registration is June 26th. And the final payment is due by July 31st. Just as a reminder, we do assess a finance charge every 30 days to the unpaid balance. So we encourage you to pay it off as quickly as possible so you can avoid that finance charge. As for the fall 2020 semester, of course you have that early deadline, which is July 17th. But for whatever reason, if you miss it, we still will continue to accept your payment all the way up to registration in the, well, maybe it might be in the UC ballroom. And then after that, the remainder balance is divided by two. You have one half due by September 30th and your final payment due by October 31st. And you're always welcome to call the office or email us to discuss other payment arrangements or whatever.
I want to come back in and make sure that we got this. We have some families that are new freshmen that will join us in the fall that may not be familiar with the way that we pay at Xavier. So I want to make sure that we're clear. If you get your assessment sheet, so we will start to send out basically what's called an assessment sheet, which is essentially your billing statement at the end of May, beginning of June. Once you receive it, you will be required to become what's called fiscally cleared. If on your assessment sheet, you do not owe anything, meaning you have either a credit balance or a zero balance, that means you're automatically cleared. There's nothing that you need to do. If you do have a required payment, then you're automatically enrolled in Xavier's payment plan once you submit one half of the payment that is due. On the screen below are the dates that you would need to submit that in order to receive clearance on time. So if you're coming for summer, as Ms. Davis mentioned, we have summer one and summer three. Summer one is the 5-week session. Summer three is an 8-week session. That deadline is May 20th. For those of you who are coming to the second session of summer school, you would need to gain clearance on the 22nd of June. July 17th, and I'll stress that date, is the fiscal clearance deadline for the fall term. There are other implications in terms of housing and things of that nature that are tied into this deadline. So it is very important that you do everything that you possibly can do to either meet the requirements or contact fiscal services to make appropriate payment arrangements. The next slide covered the process. So we've already talked about what those deadlines are. It is important that you note that the remaining half of your balance has to be paid before the end of the academic term. So what that means is once you gain clearance, meaning you've submitted half of the balance that you owe to Xavier, you still have another half left. That first half is due on September 30th. That last half is due on October 31st. If you do not pay your balance in full when it's due, and you enroll in the payment plan, you are subject to late fees and finance charges if you enter into that arrangement. The most important thing is providing you the opportunity to get any additional questions answered. So what you see on our screen now are email addresses to both the emergency funding application link, the offices of financial aid, and student accounts. But we do have questions I see that have come in. And so I'll ask Ms. Brown to let us know what you're asking so that we can address those right now.
Sure, we've had a number of questions come in. I'm gonna go back to the Office of Financial Assistance. And we had a graduate student post the question, is there summer aid offered for graduate students?
Yes, there's summer aid offered to graduate students. Graduate students are eligible to receive unsubsidized and loans as well as the Graduate Plus loans. They will have to complete the application, and keep in mind they will have to also do the FAFSA. If they have not filed the FAFSA, they have to have that done before the 8th, the deadline date that we have indicated.
Okay. Going to the emergency care funds that are being offered to current students, can you provide an example of some supporting documents that would be needed or be acceptable when you submit the emergency care funds?
That's a great question. Outstanding bills, written statements from companies that indicate that you have been laid off or otherwise you no longer have your job. A written statement that speaks to your technology needs. If you have bills from your internet provider, that's an opportunity for you to do that. Just use your best judgment to support the documents, to provide the supporting documentation, but ideally it would be some type of billing statement or personal statement that speaks to the need and gets to the core of the exact amount that you're asking for. So the goal is to connect the amount with a reasonable explanation as to why. Keeping in mind that our resources are not infinite, meaning we don't have a wide enough amount of resources to support every student, but we want to make sure that we are promoting the opportunity and directing you to outside resources if we have the ability to do that.
I have another question as it pertains to the CARES Act. Can you explain the difference between independent and dependent on the grant application?
So the independent and dependent is basically your FAFSA status, and it aligns with that. So if you live with your parents and your parents are claiming you for tax purposes, then you are a dependent student. If you have filed as an independent student, meaning you live alone or you're responsible for all of your expenses, then you would be considered an independent student.
Okay. We do have a new student who is paying attention to all the information received and asked the question. You mentioned that these funds are only available to currently enrolled students. If you will be an incoming freshman for the fall and you take a class over the summer, would you be eligible to apply?
So by currently enrolled, I mean people who are enrolled in the spring term. If you are taking classes in the summer, what I would recommend for new students is to proceed with the professional judgment process that Ms. Dickerson alluded to. There's also the opportunity, if you have been awarded a merit scholarship for freshman students, there's an opportunity to appeal in that process as well. All of it requires the supporting documentation. If you are a new freshman, then that would look like perhaps an updated transcript so that we can assess any changes in your academic profile. And Ms. Dickerson covered what would be required for the professional judgment process.
Okay. Quick question about the FAFSA verification. If you're in the waiting process for the FAFSA verification, what are you essentially supposed to do? That specifically such as waiting for a correction to be processed? I guess really to expand on that question, how long am I expected to potentially wait for that?
Ms. Dickerson.
So with the correction process, it kind of depends on how quick the Department of Ed sends it back to us. And sometimes with the correction, there may be a subsequent review, but I would be glad to take your information and look at it so that we can give you a complete answer on it. We do send students estimated awards while they're waiting on that process, but I would definitely like to outreach to you to see what's going on. So we'll get your information and I'll contact you personally, okay?
Okay. This next question is actually for fiscal, the Office of Student Accounts. And a student asks, what happens if you aren't fiscally cleared, but you still need a dorm?
That's a loaded question. You might want to talk to housing first, because you have to have a housing charge on your assessment form so we can correctly, properly charge you. So, I mean, we can estimate the required payment, but if you do not have a housing charge, you won't have a dorm room.
Add to that, if I can, the process would be for you to ensure that you have reached out to fiscal services to make satisfactory payment arrangements. So the way that you are cleared is through that process, and housing will need to know that you have satisfied your financial obligations to the university before they can clear you to move into the residence hall. And so the goal is for you to proactively reach out. And by proactively, I mean now. If you, once you get your assessment sheet and you have completed the financial aid process and you know what your estimated award is, my recommendation is that you do everything that you need in order to satisfy verification as well, so that we have an absolute clear picture of what your financial circumstances are before we're able to have conversations with you about what the university is able to support you with in terms of payment arrangements.
Thank you.
I am changing the conversation a little bit to scholarship eligibility. So we had a student that inquired about, can your scholarship increase for the fall if you have a high GPA?
So scholarships are renewed at the amount that they were offered to you when you came in your freshman year. the academic scholarships itself, they are not increased, but there are other opportunities for you to apply for scholarships at Xavier and through those outside resources that are posted on our website.
Okay. We have some more questions coming in regarding the FAFSA. And we have a student that says that their FAFSA was selected for verification, but they're unable to obtain the tax transcript from the IRS website, mm-hmm. basically because it asked for a credit card, and currently they aren't in possession of that. So are there other options to be able to get that information?
Yes, there are. So if you're unable to get that, you can submit a signed 1040, whatever, you know, your parent filed, you can go ahead and submit that. That's acceptable documentation. Any challenge with that, then definitely you and I would need to talk to figure it out, but you have to have that documentation for us to process it.
Going back to the emergency funds and the availability for that, can that be used for remaining tuition balance for spring 2020?
Well, here's the deal with the emergency funds. We can't dictate to you what you specifically use the money for. So you put on the application what your need is and how much you're requesting. That's the other reason why supporting documentation is important. You can in turn use those funds to address your existing balance to the university, but that's not something that as an institution that's granting the funds, we are able to tell you to do. So the goal is for us to address whatever emergency need you have presented to us, and your obligation is then to use the funds to address that particular need.
And Kiana, would you just do another friendly reminder of what is considered good documentation for the emergency grant? We keep getting that question a couple more times.
Yeah, it is. And it's very difficult for me to give you an exact list because it's going to look different for everyone. I would start with a very detailed explanation of what the need is. If it is something related to a regular bill and things of that nature, then that's something that you should certainly provide copies of. So if you can scan outstanding bills that show, you know, I had this income, maybe a W-2 or a pay stub that says this was your last paycheck, a notice from your employer that says you've been laid off, that would be something that I would consider to be supporting documentation. The goal is to not be shy and attach it. This is not the time to be light in terms of information that you're providing. We're not trying to have a huge standard or litmus test of what you will need in order to get approval. Our goal as a committee is to really make the puzzle make sense. So I'm looking for anything that you can say to me that says this is our need, and anything within reason that you can provide to support and document that need exists. That is what we are considering when we look for supporting documentation. But just completing the application without a great deal of information and being very light in your questions is not something that will help us to paint that picture and to get a clear understanding of what it is that you're asking and how much we can afford to provide you in support of that.
Thank you. Yes, this is being recorded, so it will be made available online. I've seen someone ask about that. And this is for both departments. Are the student accounts and the financial aid departments open at the regular hours to accept calls? So essentially, yes. Could you just let us know your office hours and how can we reach you again?
Yeah. We are open the regular hours from 8:30 until 4:30. And sometimes we're on the phone beyond that, but we are virtually, we're answering our calls through the regular telephone extension, the 504-520-7835, and someone will answer your call. And if we do not, the calls will go into our voicemail message, which goes directly to our computers, and so we're able to retrieve that information and respond to you.
Yes, so our student accounts, we're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 4. Our phone number is 504-520-7667, and we too have an email that we respond to daily.
I'll also add that we will likely have a call center that will allow us to service students in a larger volume closer to our fiscal clearance deadlines. When that call center is made available, we'll be sure to heavily promote that through social media as well as email. It's my understanding that there is a very bad storm in the Hammond area, which is where Ms. Brown is located. So I will do my best to go through some of the additional questions that are still there. The first one that I see is speaking about credits for the spring 2020 semester and when that will appear in Banner Web. So I'm assuming this is something related to refunds for the spring term. I would recommend, Sandra, that you connect with student accounts directly because that's a specific circumstance that may require us to do a little bit more of a deep dive into your personal situation. And so what we will do is follow up with you directly after this webinar to provide an information about your question. Another question that I see is for financial aid, and that is related to qualifying for fall 2020 aid. So the question reads, if I don't qualify for fall 1920 aid, can I still receive summer aid without applying for 1920 aid, even if I've applied for 2021?
First of all, you have to file the FAFSA for summer aid. The 1920 has to be processed before eligibility can be turned for summer. And by qualifying, if you're meaning in reference to income, we require that all students file a FAFSA. It may not be Pell Grant or SEOG, but federal SEOG, but the student can qualify for student loans, which is another opportunity of resources that can be given to a student. If you're inquiring about satisfactory academic progress, there is an appeal process that you would go through, as we talked about earlier in the priority deadline date to submit that. If that's the case, you'll receive a notification sometime in May, but you will have until July 10th to do an appeal for that process.
A question came up about the type of student that's eligible for the emergency aid fund. That fund is available for all students regardless of full-time or part-time status. So this is an opportunity to receive additional support. So if you have applied for emergency aid in the past and for whatever reason we were not able to accept your request, I would encourage you to apply for the CARES Act. Perhaps we are able to provide some additional support to you through the particular funding source. Another question, again, as a reminder, yes, this presentation is being recorded. If you missed a portion, we will post this website or webinar on our website so that you can access the information that was presented previously. Another question is regarding how to specifically accept the Parent PLUS loan for summer if it was offered.
Yes, and so if it was offered for the summer, the process is that the parent would, if you're interested in it, the parent would actually go out and complete the application at studentloans.gov. Once we receive the decision from the Department of Ed, hopefully approved, then we will send a certification to the parent who, because we have to do that. It seems a little interesting, but we have to do that because the Department of Ed requires us to certify that the parent is actually completing the Parent PLUS loan. Then we, the school, will actually accept that for you. So no student can accept the Parent PLUS loan for a parent, even though it's offered on your account. And we have that information on our website, the details specifically regarding the Parent PLUS process.
And it's also included in the information that's submitted with the financial aid packet that's sent to them.
Another question is regarding how an incoming freshman student would be able to appeal their financial aid award because the FAFSA doesn't accurately reflect their new financial circumstances.
Yeah, and so if you believe there's something that has happened that's substantial and warrants a professional judgment, that form is online and you simply go and you complete the form and provide the documentation and we can review it.
There's another question for an incoming freshman that I'll address. For incoming freshmen, are you able to try for a higher level scholarship if the fall 2020 semester doesn't require any test scores? So to be clear, we have waived the test score for incoming freshman students who did not have the opportunity to sit for a standardized test score. That doesn't mean that we have relaxed our scholarship criteria for those students. All students will be considered for scholarships, But in order to compete for a higher tier scholarship, that will require you to submit a scholarship appeal. That process is through the admissions office, not the financial aid office. And it will require supporting documentation that looks like either an updated transcript that sees a different academic profile or additional information that we have not already received and had the opportunity to evaluate on your application. Another question is about how to connect with financial aid virtually, considering our in-person contact is suspended.
You want to, in order to contact us virtually, you have to send us an email so we can set up the Zoom meeting with you in order to do that. So when you send the email in through FindAid, we will receive that information and the council will contact you in reference to the details of the Zoom.
Also keep in mind, our phones still work. So yes, if you have a question, you are certainly able to call the office and they're still answering the phones just as we were if we were in person.
In the office, that's right.
So your opportunity to connect is through email as well as by phone call. And if an in-person, more in-depth discussion is needed, as Ms. Jones mentioned, we'll be happy to jump on a Zoom and have a one-on-one call with you if necessary. There is a question about the readmission application. The readmission application is available through the university's website. If you go to apply, there is an opportunity for you to connect with the readmission application. The one thing that I will say about that is readmission applications are due 30 days prior to the semester that you are interested in rejoining the university community. So if that is for summer, then the first day of summer classes, I believe, is May 25th. That deadline would have been April 25th. So if you're interested in coming in for the summer, I would strongly encourage you to submit that application tomorrow. If it is for the fall term, the first day of fall classes currently is listed on the academic calendar. So I would encourage you to go ahead and submit that, especially if financial need is a part of your circumstance. So again, making sure that you remain on top of deadlines is going to be the best way that you navigate this process. Not just in the pandemic, but at Xavier in general, deadlines is something that is super critical in terms of making sure that you're positioned well for success. The next question. Is what if you received a parent loan and financial aid, but it isn't reflected in your assessment sheet?
You said, they received the plus, loan.
Reads, what if you got a parent plus loan and financial aid, but that isn't yet showing up on the fee assessment
sheet? Well, in reference, if you were receiving a parent plus loan and had not gotten the approval or decision of the plus loan, it will not show on the assessment sheet until we've gotten the actual true approval that it's been approved by the Department of Education as actual resources that will be provided to the institution. So therefore, it would not reflect on the assessment sheet until you receive of a pre-approval. Now, keeping in mind, there's opportunities that the fiscal office will communicate with you if you have the document prior to us receiving the information that it's stating that the loan has in fact been pre-approved. You can share that information with the fiscal office.
Yes, that's what I was just going to say. If you have your credit approval letter, we can accept that along with your signed assessment form. So you can just either mail it to the office or you can email it to studentaccounts@xula.edu.
And for 2021, the Parent Plus loan application will be open May the 1st. And if they're talking about summer, we're going to start doing some originations for summer.
It's now.
Mm-hmm. It's now.
So. A couple of other questions about the emergency grant. One is, can unemployment filing be a valid document? The answer to that is yes. The second one is the grant offered towards household bills or to students who may live alone and in need, or both? The answer is both. So emergency will look different for different people. That is why the documentation is really helpful, because it will allow us to, again, paint a clear picture of what the student's need is, I would encourage you to proceed quickly because again, the funds are not infinite. This is Give Love Xavier Day. We do have a very robust contingent of faculty, staff, students, and alums that are working aggressively to raise additional support funding for the university. But for now, the important thing here is to make sure that you act to access the information and the resources that we have available currently. Another question is about verification. Would it be best to call the office for FAFSA verification? The email that was received prompted the student to log into a website that they don't have access to in terms of credentials.
Yes, please call me and we will help you with that. Yes.
Let's see. How is the summer financial aid application accessible?
The application is online. Oh, I'm sorry, losing my voice. The application is in fact online on our website under the forms, financial aid and forms. Either if you send us an email, we'll send the link to you.
So again, there are two ways for you to access the summer application. One is through the financial aid website. There's a link under forms, or you can email the Office of Student Financial Aid. That email address is posted on the screen, finaid@xula.edu. In terms of when decisions on emergency grant funding will be made, that's another question that's posted. We will review those applications as quickly as we can and reply to the student using the contact information that is included in the application. And the goal is to get the funds in the hands of students within 2 to 3 business days. Another question is regarding summer aid. So this question from Ms. Graham reads, I filed my 2019-2020 FAFSA. How would I know if I qualified for summer aid?
You want me to take initials? Okay. So we've awarded summer one, summer two, and summer three students. We are continuing to award students. So if you have not been awarded yet, you could possibly be in the process, but I would just recommend you shoot an email to findaid@zula.edu. Please, please, please include your Zula ID number and we can respond. But they're out on your banner web if it's been awarded and we're still processing them.
Here's a question from Ms. Conway regarding TOPS. If a student applied for TOPS and requested it, when can the TOPS be accepted by the school?
So by applying for TOPS, if you apply for TOPS for the upcoming academic year, then starting in mid-June is when TOPS starts to send out the rosters to the school. So we'll automatically get a roster if you're eligible, and then we'll process that onto your financial aid award.
For pre-pharmacy students, does the awarded undergraduate scholarship increase proportionately to the cost of pharmacy school upon entry to pharmacy school? So if I'm understanding this question, it is if a student came in as a pre-pharm student and is now transitioning to P1 status, will their scholarship increase given the new scholarship, the tuition amount?
Okay, so academic scholarships cover, if you've been awarded a full tuition scholarship, it will cover the full tuition at the arts and sciences rate. So if you do transfer into pharmacy school, your scholarship will cover the amount that the tuition is for an arts and science student.
How do you check the status for summer financial aid?
Yeah, same thing. Your banner web is your banner web. If you've been awarded, and we've awarded several summer students. So check your banner web. Again, if you have not, it's only because we're still awarding those, but we are pressing through them. If you're not sure, go ahead and email me and we will let you know. And just remember, those students who did their application by April the 1st, they were the first that were awarded. So remember that, okay? And we are, you know, the ones we're still awarding.
Okay, more questions? I received an email stating I was awarded summer aid, but it is not listed on Banner Web.
Okay, can you email me?
Sure.
Please?
And your email address, I'm losing my voice, you all.
We can go to fineaid@zula.edu. Just let me know you're on the town hall meeting.
Yeah, but I would recommend she send it to you, Zena, because it's a direct issue.
Yes, ma'am. zdickers@zula.edu.
So we will, instead of trying to remember personal email addresses, for things that are very specific in nature, we will contact you directly. There are a number of questions that are involving very specific circumstances.
Yes.
And so we wanna make sure that we are as specific as your question in providing these responses.
Very good.
Let's see. Lots of questions regarding supporting documentation, furlough notices, layoff notices, anything that demonstrates an abrupt change in income, all of that would be considered supporting documentation for CARE funding. As a reminder, CARE funding is specifically for currently enrolled Xavier students, meaning you are a degree-seeking student currently enrolled in the spring term, and it does not apply to incoming new students because you are not yet a Xavier student, but we look forward to seeing you this fall.
Yes.
Here's a question about the process for earning scholarships back if they were lost for the previous semester.
So once our policy is once scholarships are lost, we can't, if you go a semester after it's lost, you can't regain it if your GPA increases. Okay, I'll give you a scenario. If you're a student and you attended the fall, spring semesters, and you lost your scholarship at the end of a spring semester, you do have that summer semester as a grace period to increase your GPA to regain it for the upcoming fall semester. But if you lost your scholarship previously and you went on a semester, you cannot regain an academic scholarship, after you've lost it. But as I said earlier, there are other opportunities to receive scholarships. You can check within your departments for scholarship and grant opportunities. And also our website has a list of scholarships that are available to students.
And this is the last question that we have time to answer on this webinar, but I think it is really important to end on this note, and that is if your circumstances financially have changed since you completed the FAFSA, what is the process for updating the Office of Student Financial Aid to potentially receive an updated award?
So what you want to do, you want to go to our website and look at that professional judgment form. It's in the form and resources. If you still have questions, just email fineaid@zula.edu. We know that things have happened and we're there to help you with it. Okay, so if you're unsure, it's okay. Just email us, give us the information that we need, your contact number, student's ID. We will contact you regarding that and I'll help you with it.
So again, that was the last question that we're able to accommodate. I recognize that there are several more that you have placed in the chat, and we will make sure that we address the ones that we weren't able to get to this evening. On behalf of my colleagues, I would like to again thank you for logging in.
Thank you.
If there are additional questions that you have, please don't hesitate to reach out. We want to do everything that we can to ensure that you are supported as you transition into the next semester at the university.
In the meantime, we very much look forward to seeing you this fall. Stay healthy, stay safe, and take good care. Have a good evening.
Have a good evening, everybody.